Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
You know, so it's just kind of looking at your team every single year and how is this team 2023 or 24 coming up? How does this team get wins? You know, what's their formula? I think we spent a lot of time trying to figure that out and making sure we're not trying to put a square peg into a round hole and make sure that the peg fits.
Welcome to this week's episode of our Champion Series presented by Signature Championship Rings. The journey from season to season is a dynamic process that requires a multifaceted approach encompassing player development, coaching strategies, and fostering strong relationships. Coach Chad Johnson, the head coach at Mission Viejo High School and state champion from California, emphasizes the importance of authentic relationships as the foundation of their program. By investing time in youth camps, off-season training programs, and community engagement, Coach Johnson and his staff aim to cultivate meaningful connections with players and parents, demonstrating care and commitment to the players' holistic development. Adaptability and continuous improvement are at the core of Coach Johnson's approach to developing his program. By evaluating the team's strengths and weaknesses each season, they ensure they strategically evolve their game plans to optimize player performance. Whether adjusting offensive formations based on personnel strengths or refining defensive strategies to counter opponents effectively, the program's commitment to ongoing analysis and innovation sets them apart. Coach Johnson and his team strive to stay ahead of the curve and provide their players with a competitive edge. That's the focus in our discussion today with Coach Chad Johnson. He's in his 24th year of coaching high school football. Prior to taking over the program for the 2018 season, Coach Johnson spent 12 seasons as the offensive coordinator for St. John Bosco and Trabuco Hills High School. As an assistant, he was a part of two open state championships and one national championship. He's 53-15 as the head coach at Mission Viejo, leading the Diablos to their first state championship in 2023. Stay tuned after the interview for our Winning Edge takeaways and ideas for implementation. What you see on tape is a direct reflection of what you teach and how you teach. Video is important, but if you don't teach well, you're not going to like what you see on your video. First Down Playbook has been helping coaches teach better for 13 years. It allows you to present installs, playbooks, and practice cards in half the time with NFL quality. Coaching tools like video pairing, a player app, practice schedules, and wristband sheets have made First Down Playbook a program management system with everything in one place. If you're in a position of leadership with your football program, receive a free one-week look at First Down Playbook. Call them at 512-814-6158 or visit them on their website or social media. Mention Coach and Coordinator Podcast or use the coupon code COACH24 to receive a $100 discount off the normal $700 First Down Playbook team membership price. Links and the phone number are in the show notes. As coaches, we know that some of the biggest hurdles to our team's success can come from off the field. Your team needs support to tackle the endless list of expenses, uniforms, training equipment, travel, and more. But raising that money can feel like a full-time job. Thankfully, there's Vertical Raise. Vertical Raise is the premier online fundraising platform using innovative technology to create the easiest and most efficient system available. Raise more money in less time with a local fundraising coach who works with your team every step of the way to customize the ideal fundraiser. With options for online donations, digital discount cards, premium product sales, and even spirit shops, Vertical Raise has top-of-the-line solutions for every fundraising style. To find out more, visit verticalraise.com and we'll get you connected with an exclusive offer on your first fundraiser. On today's Champion Series, we're joined by a state champion from California, and we're going to talk about how they evolve from season to season in all phases of the game, how that really rolls into how they teach and coach the game, and especially the relationships that they're developing so that they have a strong culture. And joining me to discuss all those things is the head coach at Mission Viejo High School, Chad Johnson. Coach Johnson, great to have you here.
Thanks for having me. I'm really excited.
Well, Coach, I mentioned a lot of topics there, but I think a good place to start with all of this is really the culture. And for you guys, as you mentioned to me, this all starts with the relationships. And what's the approach you guys have to building those relationships with your player? And I do want to note for our listeners, the era of NIL is happening in California. We talk about it with some of our college coaches here and how that affects them and how that affects the time players are at their school, et cetera. And, you know, all those guys have kind of echoed that you still have to build the relationships. And Coach, I know that's something you're considering as well, is how these things fit into the relationship building process.
Yeah, I mean, the first thing I would start off with by saying is that, you know, we try to develop authentic relationships, but those kind of relationships take time. And that's why we run a ton of youth camps, and we often, you know, a freshman will come in as a ninth grader, but oftentimes we'll have known the kid and coached him up for 2-3 years, at least in our youth programs. And that includes off-season weight training programs we run for them. Obviously, we don't want a nine-year-old in there squatting, but you know, like, you know, our off-season training programs, speed and conditioning, off-season 7-on-7, probably front training, all the things that we do, you know, our coaches are trying to give back to the community and get these kids coached up, and then, you know, kind of by a matter of fact, develop authentic relationships where these players and these parents see that our coaches care about their kids and want what's best for them. And we are, you know, knowledgeable and can help their kids develop throughout their middle school and high school years, and then hopefully go on and play somewhere in college. So that's probably the number one thing that I think we do a great job of, is really trying to meet the kid at their level, have authentic relationships. When they leave us, we stay in contact. We're, you know, we're friends for life after that. And I think that is maybe the best plan in the NIL transfer portal era, is trying to, you know, make sure these kids, when they see something shiny get offered to them, whether it's, you know, NIL or a different school recruiting them, and whatever the case may be, that there's relationships built there where they have to at least think twice. And man, I don't want to, you know, the coach has spent so much time, I'm gonna be loyal and stick this out. So, you know, that's kind of what we're looking for and we're trying to accomplish here at Mission.
You called it, before we got going, the era of something better, that there are those shiny objects out there. There is the allure of maybe even at the high school level now, as you're facing, being able to get some money or compensation for going and playing for a certain school. How do you guys then focus on those relationships? I mean, what things do you make sure that your coaches are doing, that you do yourself intentionally, that these relationships are built?
Yeah, I mean, the biggest one we want to be is we want to be transformational, not transactional, meaning it's not about, you know, oh, he's the best player, he can help us win, so I'm going to go ahead and be friends with him and be buddy-buddy and, you know, make sure he's good because he's the best player and he can help me win. You know, we're trying to make sure we transform these young boys into men, and I think a great way of doing that is meeting them where they're at. You know, I tell my coaches, hey, if our kids like Drake, you like Drake, you know, and we're gonna meet them where they're at, and we're gonna accompany them through the process of becoming a man, and their 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18 year old, you know, self as they leave us and go on to college. And we want to make sure that they're, you know, very prepared. They have a bunch of tools in their toolbox for life, and so we make sure that they've been taught, you know, things like perseverance, character, leadership, teamwork, all those buzzwords you always hear, you know, that's supposed to happen in football, that kids are supposed to learn those life lessons through football. But, you know, we don't believe that, you know, osmosis occurs, you know, naturally. We want to make sure that we are very direct, and we talk about perseverance in team meetings. We talk about character and leadership and what that means. Our coaches actually present award of the weeks to our players and talk about what it means and demonstrate how to be, you know, tough, how to have a character, how to be a leader, how to show perseverance. And I think, you know, our players understand that when they see us go through the process of teaching these things and adding, you know, life lessons to their tool belt they might have to use later in life, they understand it's not all about wins and losses for us at Mission Viejo. It is about the development, social, emotional, and physically. And we do authentically care about our players, and we want to transform them into great men and great husbands and great fathers down the road. That's the most important thing, I think. You know, I know Coach Saban said this all the time. It's a little bit cliche, but, you know, he's right. You know, we it is about the process. We are process-oriented. I think if we do all of those things correctly, then the wins are going to take care of themselves.
I think something that, whether this has been intentional or not, is really you have built into this, and it does feed into your culture. I think it would feed into these relationships too, is that you guys are willing to evolve to make sure that your best 11 get on the field. Because, I mean, you think about what's going to maybe nudge a kid out the door is that he can't see how exactly his skill set or the way he plays the game fits in your offense, defense, or special teams. But that's something you guys are looking at constantly, is how do you evolve to make sure that you're not putting a square peg in a round hole?
100%. You know, we are constantly trying to put our kids in the best situation to be successful. Every single year we evaluate, you know, if we just line up our best 11 guys that could possibly play defense, do we have more backer bodies than D lineman bodies? Okay, that means more, we're going to play more odd front. Do we have more guys secondary that are more zone players, you know, big physical players we can play cover two with? Okay, great. Let's play more cover two with that. Is there years we can play more man cover, three guys to get cover? And maybe that year, you know, we are not as good up front, so we need to pressure more. Those are the things that we always are looking at offensively, kind of the same thing. You know, hey, you know, like we've been 12 personnel. My first year here in 18, we were 10 personnel. We went fast. We were in 10 personnel. We didn't have a tight end on the field ever. Next year, we were 11 and 12. Then in 2021, we were a lot of 12 personnel. 2 years ago, we were 11 personnel. Last year, a lot of 10 personnel. So it just kind of depends on the year and what we have. And we're always going to try to, you know, put our best 11 on the field, move the football, score points defensively. You know, we want to take away what you do best, make you play left-handed, and then put our, you know, again, our best 11 on the field. We certainly can't, you know, recruit and do all those things that some of the major colleges can to make sure that if they were an even front, we're going to go out and recruit the four best D-line we can find every single year. So you pack those all guys together, you stack them up, and your defensive line room is, you know, 12 dudes that can play. You know, even front, you know, we don't have that. One year we might have, hey, we got three D-linemen on the whole team. They can play. We got to be an odd front. So, you know, that's what we do. And I think we do the same thing with special teams. You know, last year we had an absolute weapon as a kicker. He's going to Arizona as a punter and a kicker, and we used him like crazy. You know, last year was like, hey, listen, let's protect the football and let this guy flip the field and punt the ball 60 yards. You know, pin him deep and make them go 80. You know, other years where kicker maybe is young or isn't as good, maybe we're going for a fourth down more. You know, so it's just kind of looking at your team every single year and how is this team 2023 or 24 coming up? How does this team get wins? You know, what's their formula? I think we spent a lot of time trying to figure that out and making sure we're not trying to put a square peg into a round hole, make sure that the peg fits.
How do you guys go about, I guess, that research and development process, right? And I'm sure a lot of that's happened, you know, getting into March already. But what's that process look like? Because, you know, when you get these guys, they're not necessarily some of these guys who are your rising juniors and seniors. I mean, and we'll talk about this in a minute. You're going to develop them in the weight room too and get some things out of them. But what's the process of taking a look at, here's what we did and what was good and maybe what wasn't good, and here's some other ideas that we learned while we were out in winter clinics?
We start our off-season program in January as soon as we get back from Christmas break. And we get after it. You know, we spend the month of January with a lot of triphasic stuff, you know, with a lot of eccentric work and injury prevention, mobility, trying to strengthen all the joints, do all that stuff, because guys are still kind of banged up sometimes in the season, especially when you play as late as we did this year. So, you know, that happens in the month of January, and then we kind of transition in February to some hypertrophy stuff, and then now we're getting into some of our power and strength stuff as we get closer to spring ball. Our spring break is the first week of April, so we're going to have our combine the week before last week of March, and then they get a week off, then we'll come back and get ready for spring ball. It starts in mid-April. So, you know, we really try to develop our athletes, and we do a phenomenal job in our off-season weight program. with our strength conditioning. And I think that kind of sets us above, you know, some of the teams we play that, you know, even though might not have the body types they do at 6'5" and 280 pounds, you know, our guys are stronger than the other team. They're more physical. They're a better technique. They're more mobile. They're faster, quicker, whatever you want to call it. And I think that's, you know, extremely important in the high school football program to be successful with that weight program. You know, I know in college they say, hey, second most, you know, important hire is the strength coach. And I agree with them. You know, coaches have said that. I completely agree. When Alabama had the one strength coach, and then all of a sudden he goes to Georgia, and then Georgia now is the national champion. It just kind of shows you, like, well, you know, who is it? Is it actually Kirby Smart, or is it the strength coach? You know what I mean? And so I think that's extremely important, and especially in a high school program where the old saying, you're only as strong as your weakest link, is really true in high school. And you got to make sure that, you know, all 11 guys, you know, are capable of not hurting you. You know what I mean? Out there and being productive. So, you know, we track it. You know, we spend a lot of time in the weight room looking at what we're doing and tracking their strength gains, and kids are buying in. We have, you know, competitions. We have kind of a tiered color system with what shirts they're allowed to wear. And if you're a black shirt, you know, guy in the weight room, you know, you're very strong. You're benching 300 pounds, squatting mid fours, power clean almost 300 pounds. You're a black shirt. I mean, no one can wear a black shirt in the weight room unless, you know, you hit those marks. And then we have a red t-shirt, which is our school color. That's a little bit less than that. Then we have a gold t-shirt, a little less than that. It's also our school color. And then everyone starts out in a white t-shirt. You know, so kids work really hard to try to get out of that white t-shirt. You know, because they know someone walks in, sees them in white, that means, you know, they're the weaker ones. You know what I mean? So, you know, kids are working their tails off to earn the black t-shirt and the red t-shirt, stuff like that. So, you know, we do all kinds of goal setting with our kids and trying to get them to, you know, achieve their max potential. And we always kind of say, you know, every kid has the DNA is all different. So every single kid has a different genetic ceiling. You know, our job as a high school coach is to try to get them to that genetic ceiling as close as we can in the 4 years they're here with the development of our program. Some genetic things are much higher than others just based on who your parents are, where your DNA is, but it doesn't matter where your ceiling is. We want you to get to it. We want to reach your potential. So that's why we spend a lot of time tracking everyone and working with our athletes, and sometimes even specializing, customizing workouts, you know, based on the athlete, try to get them all to their potential. And I think that translates really well to the program. I think the weight room develops great culture, great leadership, and that kind of translates right into spring ball, you know, as you start that as well. But it's all kind of derived from the weight program. That's the months of January, February, March, and a little bit of April.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
And the other part of the question was on the X's and O's and evolving those, the process for that, your research and development. And I think the other thing to touch on with that, I mean, if you are going to evolve, if there's going to be things that are new installs, you have to be great teachers of the game. And I think have your system set up well on whatever you're going to present it on. I mean, teaching is being able to, you know, have some resources there that is going to help their learning. So how does that look for you guys from the, okay, here's some new ideas. Again, like what worked, what didn't. Here's what we're going to do moving forward. Here's how we're going to teach it. How does that all come together for you?
Yeah, I mean, the first thing you do is in the offseason, you want to break down your own film and start evaluating, say what worked, what didn't work. And the next thing is you want, okay, this is what didn't work. You know, why did it not work? You know, or why did it work? Why the stuff that did work didn't work? Because we had a Division I defensive end that just ran over the tackle every single year, or was there some good scheme there? And then why did it not work? Well, did we have, you know, a kid that just wasn't very good at a position? Did we have a bunch of mental busts in that scheme? Like, what was it? And then once you kind of figure that part out, we can make a decision of, do we need to keep it or junk it? If we junk it, then, okay, what are we replacing it with? We need to go out now and visit colleges in the spring. We need to go in and visit their spring balls, attend spring balls, go to coaching clinics, get on Zoom, stuff like that, where there's resources for professional development, and then bring it back and say, okay, We have got a bunch of ideas here. You know, what can we implement? What fits us? What do we know? We don't want to, you know, implement something, insert something we don't know inside and out. And then, you know, spring ball a lot of times is, okay, we want to put our base stuff in that, you know, that we know we kept from last year. Then after that, it's to try new things. You know, okay, you know, we went to Oregon for a week as a staff and we stole, you know, this sim pressure and that coverage. Let's put it in and see if, you know, we really like it. We know everything about it. Let's put it in and see how it works. You know, because in spring ball, it doesn't look good. It's not in the paper. You know what I mean? That no one knows it didn't look good. And you can then take it out and kind of keep on playing with it during the summertime. You know, so that's what I use spring ball a lot of times offensively is I'll go to spring ball. Okay, these are the concepts I know that are great. We've used them before. They're going to be part of our offense this year. These are some new concepts that we've studied and learned over the offseason, professional development. And once we get our base stuff in towards the middle and the spring ball, let's start trying these new ideas out. And see how they work and see if we can incorporate to our system. I know a couple of years ago, for example, you know, we kind of researched the Rams and McVay and all of his compressed formations with the jet sweeps and the play actions off of it and outside zone and duo and all those things. We actually studied the crap out of it and called it our Rams package. And we started putting that in spring ball and tinkering with it. And we took the stuff we really liked. We junked the stuff we didn't. And now that's one more thing that the opponent has to prepare for is we can jump into that and all of a sudden have a tight bunch, fly motion, you know, fake off it, split zone, outside zone, duo, deep shot play action, deep mesh, you know, all different things we can do from that system. Also, obviously, McVay is the same as San Francisco 49ers and some of that stuff, same tree. But, you know, we kind of dove in and took some of the stuff that we liked out of that. I think that's the whole point of the offseason is to keep on learning. You know, keep on trying new ideas, you know, seeing what fits, you know, the upcoming year. And I think the players appreciate that because, you know, if you have a player that starts as a sophomore, by the time he's a senior, if you're not constantly adding new wrinkles, I mean, he's going to get bored. You know, he's like, oh my gosh, guys, get to college and get out of here. But if you keep on presenting him with, you know, new schemes and staying current too, you know, so that if he goes home on a Saturday and turns on college football, he's like, oh my gosh, we run that. Oh my gosh, we run that. Oh, that's that. And now the players know that, you know, you really are getting him ready for the next level because all he's going to have to do when he goes to college is take what we did in high school. And then it was called this admission. Now it's called that at UCLA. It's the same play, same coaching, same everything. Just we called it Chicago and UCLA calls it Detroit, you know, whatever. And I think that's, you know, really important too, you know, to make sure that your players know that, you know, you're running collegiate systems, obviously a little bit watered down right now. It's complicated, but you're running collegiate schemes so that when they go to the next level, they're ready to step on their first spring ball or first, you know, fall camp and compete because, you know, they've had the weight training program. You know, they know how to do all the lifts that the strength coach in college wants them to do. You know, the speed and conditioning, they know what they're doing there. They know, oh, gosh, okay, we call it this at Boise State. We call it that at Michigan Dale. It's the same coverage, same coaching. All I got to do is flip the name in my head, and I'm good to go. And they're so further ahead. And then a lot of times our players come back and tell us this. Like, oh, my gosh, I'm so much further ahead than all these other freshmen coming in. It's crazy. Thank you guys so much. You know, and I love hearing that. I think that's a big deal, right? I mean, I think that's really important too. You have in your program and it adds again just one more piece of the culture.
Now, in order to do that, to find those tweaks, be efficient at putting them in, having some good tools and technology to do it is important. I know one great one out there is First Down Playbook, and it's something you guys use. How does that give you some efficiency in this process of, like you said, hey, we're going to put together this McVay package, this Rams package, which is a lot of compressed and jets and all these different things? That's a lot of drawing though, right? How does this work for you in making sure you guys are efficient so you could keep your focus on developing these guys, how you're going to teach these things rather than getting lost in drawing things up?
We use First Down Playbooks, you know, in a couple of different ways. Obviously one is in our playbook. And you know, what's funny is we actually used First Down Playbook during the COVID years. We did a virtual 7-on-7 and I actually just did it. We've had a lot of rain out here in California the last couple of weeks and I did with my little eighth graders and we got rained out. So I made them jump on Zoom. We did a virtual 7-on-7 with First Down Playbook where the players had to draw in their routes on the play call. And then the defensive guys had to move their little guy around and not move, but like draw, you know, where they would drop and how they would match the coverage in a format situation. But, you know, we've used First Down Playbook that way. We used it in the playbook and the last way we've used it, you know, my playbook, I mean, inserting plays and showing the kids what we want. But the last way we've used it, and probably the way we've done it like the most, has been for practice. You know, we use first down playbook every single day of practice. We make the plays, and we have a scoreboard. It's basically a giant TV screen, and we project the scout team plays on the scoreboard. So the scout team is always facing the scoreboard, whether it's offense or defense. And our, we have a guy upstairs, you know, in the press box that has on a little radio, and we'll go, hey, next. And we'll just kind of hit the space bar, the down arrow, like it's a PowerPoint presentation, and it'll go to the next slide. And in the scout team can, we can rip off so many plays because one, we're a no-huddle offense. So we want to go fast. Well, the defense get lined up so quickly when they're not having to come running in and look at a car, they're standing there and the car is like, okay, cover two. I see a cover two. Danny coming on the car. Oh, now it's bail thirds. Oh, I'm blitzing or whatever it might be. D lineman's like, oh, I'm in a three. I'm in a two. I'm pirating from a three or, you know, spiking from a three. I'm in a two eye. I'm in a one, whatever it might be. And we can go so fast, you know, in 7 minutes, we can rip off 20 plays on your side of the ball. You know, same thing, you know, a lot of guys are on your play, tempo offense, our defense is offended. And now the offensive huddling up, the outside right receiver is looking at the scoreboard, and play one, he runs a hitch. Play two, he blocks the corner. Play three, he runs a slant. Play four, he runs a post. Play five, he runs a 10-yard out. Play 60 blocks. You know, and just go. And same thing, in 7 minutes, we can rip off 20 plays. And then we have everything filmed from a drone, and then we can coach on film. You know, so we have teach periods and we have team periods. And our team periods, it is football. It's, you know, our coach on the sidelines. We're signaling plays from the sidelines, and we're going like a game would go. And I think that's, you know, important to put your, you know, guys in a position of practice that simulates the game. So that's what we do, and we use first down playbook to do it. And there, you know, it's been awesome for us. And I know it's a big reason why we've been successful is we've had, you know, a lot of great practices because of the use of first down playbook and through our scoreboard.
Yeah, that's really a cool way to do it. And it definitely beats putting together those play card books that we're all used to. You mentioned with some of this too, the idea that these guys can go out to college and here's the play they learned. And, you know, again, I think, and this is not necessarily all of our players, but a lot of those guys want to see that if they want to do it, they have that opportunity and you're looking for the opportunities. And, you know, I think it's important in this day and age that's just part of what you do as a high school program is figuring out, all right, if you want to play, where are you playing your ball? That you are active in making sure these guys have opportunities after high school.
Absolutely. You know, that is, I think, one of the most important jobs, if not the most important job as a high school coach, is to make sure that you're helping parents. A lot of times these parents, they didn't play in college. You know, or if they did play in college, it was so long ago, they don't know what the recruiting landscape is now, 2024. And so, you know, you have to help them. You know, we have parent meetings that we talk about everything from A through G requirements to graduation requirements to how to, you know, log on and set yourself up with a profile on the eligibility center, the NCAA eligibility center, to, you know, to recruiting. You know, what does an offer mean in 2024? Does it mean what it used to mean, you know, 10, 15 years ago? No. And you know, how to plan your summer camp schedule, you know, how to communicate with the coach, you know, do's and don'ts of social media, what to make sure you don't have on your social media, because, you know, they could be construed as a red flag on you. You know, all of those things, you know, we try to talk to our kids and our parents about, and then that's one part of it. Another part of it is then picking up the phone and making phone calls to college coaches and getting them to evaluate your kid and giving the kid feedback. And all that whole process takes a lot of time, but I think it's a very important process and task to accomplish if you're going to have a successful program, because the bottom line is kids and parents are have choices. The bottom line is this, they're kids and parents today's day and age, they have choices, especially in my state. If you don't show the parents that you're going to try to develop the kid and help them out in every way possible, right? You know, they might choose to go to another school. You know, and we definitely don't want that. You know, we want all the kids in this area in Missionville to stay home and go to Missionville. We don't want them attending, you know, other private schools or other schools around. We want them to stay home until make their parents feel like they can come here, and we're going to do everything that everyone else would, you know, if they stay home. So it's a big part of it, man. You know, I'm a big believer in trying to help these kids get out, and we've had a lot of success doing. I think we averaged like around the last 5 years, take COVID out, the COVID year out, I think we've had around 10 or 11 kids per year sign Division I scholarships.
Because we've talked a lot about developing your players, but in the process that goes into it, but you also see that there's a process to develop as a coach, and you've seen it in your career, how it has evolved from, you know, your start as an assistant now to being a head football coach. And before we got going, you related it to a story or something your dad told you about being a jack of all trades, that's what learning this game and being able to get to the position you're in and be effective in it is about learning every single phase of what goes into this.
My dad told me a long time ago, you know, that before I became a manager of a restaurant, you know, you have to know to work the front of the house, the back of the house, to cook, you know, wait tables, to help the hostess stand if a hostess calls in sick, and you got to be the one that projects the wait time. You got to know everything. And that's kind of was my thought process, you know, before I became a head coach, is I need to make sure I know everything. I'm not going to say I'm as good as, you know, some position coach that's been coaching offensive line for 30 years. No, I'm not going to be as good as that guy is. But if I don't know what I want at every single position on the field, every single play, and how I want it done and what I want it to look like, and if someone has an emergency, you know, a kid, you know, got sick or it's in the hospital because he fell down at school and broke his arm and my coach can't be there at defensive line, let's say, I got to be able to jump in at defensive line and not make a fool out of myself. You know what I mean? So I think it's very important, you know, that some high school coaches maybe jump the gun too quick because they're such in a hurry to become a head coach that they don't take the time to kind of go around the world of football where, you know, I've coached before I became head coach. I was special teams coordinator. You know, I coached defensive line. I coached linebackers. I coached secondary. I started as an offensive line coach. Then moved to tight end. Then moved to quarterbacks. You know, so I was able to coach kind of around the world of football. The only thing I had not done before I became head coach was a defensive coordinator at the varsity level. You know, I coordinated at lower levels. So it's just one of those things where, you know, you to be a complete coach, and I think to have your program, you know, always in a good spot, you know, you got to know it all. And that includes the weight room. You know, I personally run our strength program. You know, I think it's so important that I you know, I almost don't trust anyone else to do it, you know, but myself. Not only that, we can't afford, you know, to pay some guy 80 grand to come and do it. So, you know, I do it, but it's not important to me. I think it's really important that if you're a young coach, you know, looking to be a head coach someday, you need to start taking steps right now to making sure that, you know something about O-line, tight ends, running backs, quarterbacks, receivers, DBs, linebackers, D-line, kickers, punters, snappers, you know, because you get into a season and all of a sudden, you know, let's say you don't have a long snapper. You know, some years you got some random kid that comes in and he's already got a long snapping coach. He already goes to Rubio's long snapping and he's snapping missiles. Okay, the next year that guy graduates and you don't got another one. Well, now what? If no one on your staff can teach long snapping, what are you going to do? You're never going to punt, never going to do field goal. So it's like you got to learn those things. You know, and as the head coach, the bottom line is it's going to be your win-loss record, not any assistance. So, you know, you better get out there and study and learn how to teach everything, just in case, you know. So that's kind of what we've done, you know, here. And I got a couple guys with me that help me kind of do all that. But I think it's really important, you know, just like my dad taught me about being a manager of a restaurant. You got to know how to do it all.
Coach, and taking a look back at the championship run and whenever you win a championship, I don't care if it's a state championship, a league championship, whatever it might be. I think those are special years. And while we aim to do it every year, it doesn't necessarily always happen. So how do you, especially with your guys who are leaving the program, how do you celebrate that? How do you make sure that they're able to enjoy those moments? And I know you get back to it, as you said, in January, but what kinds of things did you guys do to celebrate that championship run?
You know, it was really cool. Our local mayor in Mission Viejo, she had our team over and they gave us all kinds of cool awards, even something they gave us from the Congress. House representatives came down and got stuff for our kids. So, you know, it was really kind of cool. Of course, we had the banquet. We celebrated. We're getting rings and all of those things. But, you know, we tried to celebrate it. We wanted to have a parade, but we couldn't get the go ahead to have a parade down Marguerite Parkway here in Mission Viejo. That was kind of a bummer. You know, we had seen San Clemente win it a couple years ago and we saw them get a parade. So I was trying to push the mayor to have a parade and we couldn't get that done. So it is what it is, but we've definitely taken our time and celebrated. We really enjoyed ourselves at our banquet and celebrated the state championship and we just got, you know, our rings ordered, you know, so we're excited about that. And like I said, we were able to go to the district office, had something for us where they kind of, you know, acknowledged us in front of a board meeting. And then so did our mayor and kind of the same thing there in front of her board. And it was a cool deal for sure. You know, when we get our rings, I think we're going to have a giant ring ceremony as a school as we pass out the rings and do those things. So, you know, we're not done celebrating it, but you know, unfortunately, man, you know, it's like when January comes, it's like, well, if you're still settled, but yeah, I learned this lesson in 2013 at Bosco when we won the national championship, went 16-0 and beat DSL coincidentally enough. And, you know, we're still celebrating in January, February. I was like, dude, we got to get back to work. We got spring ball in a month and we're, you know, everyone else is now gunning for you because they want to knock champs off. And what happened next year? We didn't win it. You know, in 2014, we didn't win it. 2015, we didn't win it. We didn't win it in 2016. You know, it's almost like it took us a couple of years to get back there because I'm not saying it's because we celebrate too much, but, you know, it definitely, someone told me one time that it's very, very hard to get to the top. It's even more difficult to stay there. And that is such a true statement. That's why it's like when you see the New England Patriots and some of these programs, Nick Saban and George, now you see him stay at the top for multiple years, like, golly, that's just super impressive. Because if you've ever been there and then try to get back there, it's just super tough.
Definitely. Well, certainly best of luck to you and the Diablos here in 2024. I'm sure your younger guys are already looking at how do they win that next one. I know your coaches probably are too. So definitely congrats on 23. Best of luck to you guys here in 2024, and really appreciate you taking the time and sharing insight into what makes your program successful.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me. It was a blast. Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
Here are Winning Edge takeaways and ideas for implementation. 1, develop authentic relationships. Coach Johnson emphasized the importance of building authentic, transformational relationships with players and parents over time. This involves investing in youth programs, off-season training, and demonstrating care for the player's overall development, not just on-field success. Building strong relationships can lead to player loyalty and a strong team culture. 2, constantly evolve and adapt. To maintain a successful program, you must be willing to adapt and evolve in all aspects of the game, and this includes evaluating what works and what doesn't, being open to new ideas, and continuously learning and implementing new strategies. By staying current and making adjustments based on the team's strengths and weaknesses each season, you can put your players in the best position to succeed. And 3, be a well-rounded coach. Coach Johnson emphasized the importance of being somebody who is a jack of all trades as you're learning this game, meaning that you understand various positions and all aspects of the game, as well as all the aspects of running a program. While you don't need to be an expert, a strong foundation will help you be successful, especially when you have the opportunity to become a head coach. Follow all we're doing at coachingcoordinator.com and sign up for our weekly tip sheet, which shares the best ideas from each episode. Learn more about Signature Championship rings at www.signaturechampions.com/podcast, and follow us on X at Coach K Grabowski.